Good morning, church. How you doing today? Good, good, good. I'm excited for today's service. Before we get started, before I introduce you to our speaker, just want to let you know of a few things. First thing is this week we have had a great time with some of the different events that we had. I started at the football stadium with the youth, and then went over to the children and got to listen to Nathan King as he cracked whips and got in balloons and all the different. I didn't get to see the part where he ate fire. I think at one point, but one of the exciting things about all of these different fun activities that he did with the kids was is that every one of them pointed to the gospel. And as Nathan King shared the gospel, there was a response. And one of the things that I just want to share with you as a church that we do with kids and events like this is we want to make sure that this is a great starting point or a great place to be able to have the conversation. And so that comes with you parents and you coming alongside of them. But we are so grateful for our children's ministry and those who continue to serve and come alongside and volunteer. Thank you guys so much for all you do. Anyway, had a great event. Wednesday night, also at the football field, there was, I didn't count, but I'm telling you, there was a ton of youth out there. And so there was a four-time state champion from Skytook who shared his testimony, did a fantastic job, and then also a gentleman who come and shared the gospel. And so they got to hear it and how they respond to it. We'll trust the Lord and that. But what a great event. And then Thursday, we had the awesome senior adults here at our campus all day long, and I learned so much. I'm not quite yet Medicare eligible, but at least now I know some of the questions to ask once I do, okay? So if you aren't able to come, I'll do my best, all right? You got two options. One, no, I'm just kidding. Had a great time, learned a lot, spent some great time with our senior adults and greatly enjoyed it. I want to let you know of a couple of things. First off, aren't you thankful for our talented worship team? They do a great job. Today, right now, Drew is preaching in view of a call, and so we'll learn later today of what they decided. But I'm so thankful that we have people to step in and lead us to the throne, even in his absence. But we want to be praying for Drew. With that thought, though, I want to let you know that next Sunday on October 5th, we will have our quarterly church conference. And I know that maybe you have not attended or don't normally. There's usually just a small percentage that do. But I want to ask you as your pastor to plan to be at next week's quarterly church conference. We are a congregational church, which means that we decide together what God is leading us to do. And we have been approached by a landowner to potentially purchase some land, and with that are all sorts of questions that come, and we want to be able to tackle some of those questions. I want to tell you as pastor that one of the things that we have set up to help us in our decision-making is we ask a simple question: does this or will this help us to fulfill the mission that God has given us? And if it's not, then it's an easy no, right? But if it is, then we want to trust him, and we want to at least come before him and ask him to show us. And so will you plan to be there? We'll tackle that question. We'll also be tackling if the Lord has called him to go that way. We'll talk some about that process, and then also be talking about ways in which that we can help better use our facilities and what God has given us to fulfill the gospel and or fulfill the mission. And so a lot going on. We'll celebrate what God has been doing. I told you guys at the first part of the year that I was praying for 50 baptisms this year, and we're getting close, so keep sharing the gospel, and super excited. Tonight, do you guys get all this? Are you tracking with me here? All right, we're close. Tonight, you will not want to miss 5 o'clock at the South Campus Gym. We are going to have Coach T come back. You're going to be greatly challenged and encouraged. Your toes will be sore when you leave, but you're going to be greatly challenged. But tonight, he is going to give us the tools to use to be able to go and proclaim the gospel in everyday life. And so you will want to come back here tonight to learn how to do that. We have a mission that God has given us, the Great Commission. Go make disciples of all nations, right? And so tonight will give us some tools to be able to do that. Please plan to be back here tonight at 5 o'clock. We'll have a meal for you. I was supposed to say in the first service, and I forgot, but I will right now. If you need childcare for tonight, we need to know that. So there is a way that you can register your kids. Tell me the easiest way to do that at this point. Anyone? What is it? The table? At the table directly behind the sound booth? No? The table around the curve area? Okay. So right here, thank you. There's a part of the wall that curves right out here. If you need to register for childcare tonight, after the service, preschool and younger, okay? If they're first grade or older, we want to equip them to share the gospel, okay? So we want them to be there. We want you to have these conversations with your kids. How do we share the gospel? How can we do that and be able to train them? So we want them to be there. But preschool and younger, we'll have child care for. So please, there's a QR code, I think. Right? Okay. Anyway, you'll scan that. All right. If you're going to be helping us with the offering, if you guys would, go ahead and make your way forward. As they're coming, I want to encourage you. This is a way that we continue in our worship. It is a way in which we are obedient to the Lord, yes, but also a way that we tell him we trust you. We trust your plan. We trust your ways. If you are here this morning and maybe you're in financial need or have some needs in your life, food, shelter, things like that, we want you to know we come right alongside of you. Please come let someone near you know, or you can come let me know. We would love to be able to walk you through the financial struggles that you're in. And so, anyway, let's bow before the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for today, a day that we are here on this Lord's Day and worship you. Help us, Lord, to remember that you are on the throne and that you are always at work in lives around us. I pray that we leave here today with a confidence, a renewed courage to be bold and to proclaim you to this lost world. Help us to truly be the light set on a hill. And I pray that you would use us. Help us to realize we've been sent, and in being sent, we are to be proclaimers of your excellencies. Oh, Lord, help us to be able to brag on you to this lost world. And so, Lord, lead us. Speak to our hearts in this time. I pray during this time of giving, you'll bless the gift and the giver. Lord, help us, Lord, to trust you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. The deacon who is praying today, if you would come on up. This is Coach T. Coach T, his first name is Travoris.
Yes.
Did I say it right?
Yes.
Travoris. Wow. I'm going to let him say his last name. I have no clue. But I'm so thankful for my brother. He has greatly challenged us in the first service, and so you're in for it right now, okay? So get ready, and this is Jeremy. He's going to pray for him.
Thanks, Brother Jeremy. Appreciate it.
Lord, we come to you. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, you're our Savior and our Redeemer. Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy and grace that saves us. Lord, we ask you to speak to us, Lord, through your speaker this morning, Lord, Father, Coach T. Lord, that your word will be spoken. Lord, help us to be doers and obedient to your word today and just not hearers. Lord, help us to be your disciples, your missionaries, Lord, and to go. Lord, we thank you for your blessings upon our lives, Lord, Father. And Lord, help us to be a blessing to you and glorify you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jeremy. Appreciate you.
Children's worship is dismissed.
Got it? Yep. Yep. How you all doing this morning? All right, my name is Coach T. But you hear my real name. Real name is Travoris Uzugwe. Let me give you a little bit of history on that. My father is from Nigeria, and so he talks like this. It's good to be here with you today. And my mother is from the United States, so that's why I'm African American. My wife absolutely hates that joke. Got to keep honest, you know? So I do work for Oklahoma Baptist State Convention. Our organization exists to come alongside churches to help equip and encourage and just tool churches. In the area of my area is apologetics and evangelism. And so I go all over the state of Oklahoma to help encourage and come alongside churches. If you would give me the privilege today, I want to give you guys some skills on how to engage a lost world. This is not necessarily an event for us. This lifestyle is not an event. All right, it's a lifestyle to us. And so, with that being said, I do want to tell you why I'm so passionate about evangelism, even though I don't really like doing evangelism. All right. I'm apologetics and evangelism. That's my position, but I do not like doing evangelism. I mean, would you guys agree? Like, evangelism is not something fun to do. As a matter of fact, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says that God's commandments are not burdensome. It says that. But when it comes to evangelism, it is a command. It's not necessarily an optional buffet style type of option. It is a command. And I legitimately thought that when God told us to go reach lost people, that I thought he was lying. Because evangelism is a burden. It is not easy having this feeling I have inside that I have to go tell people about Jesus that some people I don't even know. And then some of my family members that know my past, I don't want to feel that pressure. And plus, I'm busy. I got a lot of other things I can be doing on my mind. But let me tell you why I'm so passionate about evangelism. Even though I don't like doing evangelism, I do like the results of it. But let me give you why. I'm going to show that first picture that I think that this picture is basically worth 1,000 words. I grew up in Little Rock, Arkansas. I grew up in a really broken family. My mother and father did not know the Lord. And as a result, they gave way to their fleshly impulses. And so my daddy just was a very angry man. My mom didn't know the Lord also, and so they would physically get into fights. And I'll get that picture here in a second. But they would physically get into these fights that would oftentimes, I would watch my dad beat my mom until she passed out. And I would jump into these fights, and I would be a victim of, you know, these abuses, trying to just keep my mom alive. And the day that I actually came to know Christ, a little bit backdrop is I was riding my bike in my neighborhood, in this particular neighborhood. And in this particular neighborhood, it was a very broken neighborhood. And I'm walking in the park, riding my bike in the park, and this white lady approaches me. And her name is Betty Hurd. Also with another lady named Kathy. She played the piano. At this point, I didn't even know what a church was. But I used to actually break into people's houses or in this neighborhood. And I was thinking while they was building this little church off on the side, that's the next place I'm going to break into. But when I was approached by Betty Hurd, she invited us to this thing called the church. I was so super excited because I kind of liked that white lady. And I went home and told my mom. I was so excited about her. I told my mom, this lady invited us to this thing called the church. Can we go? Can we go? Because I really want to see her again. She was so nice. She smiled at me. She seemed like an angel. And sure enough, my mom, you know, she puts us in this car. And keep in mind, my mom's car is on life support. All right? We used to literally have to park on a hill, push it to get it started. Do anybody know what I'm talking about? We were so broke, if somebody robbed us, they'll just be practicing. It's like, man, you good. You ready for the real game now, I'm telling you. So we pull up to this church in our car on life support, and we hadn't had a bath in 3 days. Our water and lights would be cut off half the time. And we late, we smell filthy, and all of a sudden Betty Hurd comes down the steps, and she invites us into this place. And I say, Mom, I didn't remember my name. That's that white lady light right there. That's that white lady right there. And she came to the window, and my mom takes her hands and pulls down the window, and she invites us into the church. And this is my neighborhood here. All right, y'all see this guy right here with the big forehead, like his forehead is pregnant? tongue sticking out, blue shirt? That's me. That's me years ago, Southwest Little Rock, Arkansas. Unfortunately, we all grew up in the same church for about 6-7 years. And this guy right here, as we grew up, he became alcoholic and destroyed his entire family. I don't know what he is now. As a matter of fact, many years ago, after we did grow up, I reunited with him and shared the gospel with him. He was a drunk, and I tried to lead him to Christ. I don't know what happened after that. This guy right here named Little John, with his hands like this, he got shot in his head, and he got killed. He's probably in hell. And this guy here, with his striped shirt on here, he got killed in some type of accident. He's probably in hell. This guy here, Marcus, he went to prison, in and out several times, and now I think he has a long-term sentence. She became a prostitute, had a bunch of children. Lost them to DHS. I don't know if she's dead or alive. Pookie and Trent, they're both in hell probably. They got shot and killed. This guy right here, he's in prison. And I don't know where the rest of them at. So I know you're probably looking like, how in the world do you sit here before me today? Well, it's by God's grace I have been saved through faith. And I'm telling you, it is not of myself. It is a free gift of God. It is not by works, so that no man can boast. The reason why I stand here before you today is the same reason why you sit there. I was looking for Jesus like a burglar looks for police officers. If I could have ran faster than Jesus, I would have never been caught. Guys, that's Betty. That's John Hurd. He was a pastor, pastor's wife. They could have went anywhere they wanted to go in the country because they were close to retirement. But they chose to start a church to reach dirty, no, I couldn't offer them anything, people like me. And here's where I finally came to Christ. I took a stick, and I was constantly vandalized. I was so bad. I was constantly vandalizing like property in the community, and they had finally caught me. And in my mind, as a kid, when they caught me, my whole family is going to have to pay for the damages. If I didn't pay for the damages, I'm going down. That's what they said. And in my kid's head, I said, I'm finna go to get the electric chair, and I'm going to prison. I was sure of it. I was so terrified. I was so scared. And, you know, the church bus would run, and they would come pick us up. Betty and John Hurd. And I was the last one getting to the church van. And I was And Betty was like, what's wrong? I was like, they caught me. I'm about to get the electric chair. And she said, well, what happened? I told her what happened. And you know what they said? They said, that's okay. You shouldn't have done what you did, but the church will pay for the damages. And I was like, huh? Like, you would do that for me? I deserve it. Ding! This is the first time I understood grace. And this guy, John Hurd, takes me in the back of a Sunday school class and shares the gospel with me. And I realized he uses that illustration. Yeah, you're supposed to go down. And T, this is what he told me. T, if you had died, knowing good, right from wrong, as a kid, you would have been in hell. I appreciate that. Because I put my faith in Jesus as best I knew how. And guys, no joke. I left that Sunday school class, and I went around my neighborhood and started telling as many people as I could about Jesus. Like, it's just a knee-jerk reaction. The word gospel means good news. It implies what you already do with it. So I didn't know that people don't share like that. I'm just going up. Everybody had to hear this message. But did you know that 95% of you in this room, according to statistics, have never led a single soul to Christ outside of the walls of the church? Many of us has professed faith. You're banking your eternal security on a message you don't even articulate. And a lot of people say that they believe it. You know what? The Bible says out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth what? Your mouth speaks. Some of you guys say you believe it, but I doubt it according to the statistics. Guys, here's what I found out. This happened in my own life. If you don't use it, you will lose it. I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation. I'm just saying you're going to lose your confidence in the power of the gospel to save people. You lose it. Why? It's because this message has been made to give out. The Bible says, blessed is a man. It says, he who refreshes others, he himself will be refreshed. So if you're not giving the message out, it's not necessarily coming back to you. And guys, you don't develop. It's only so far you can go just following Jesus and coming to church. It's only so far you can go. You come to church, we sit in small groups, we sing. It's only so much growth that you can experience, because this is the locker room. That's the game. We win souls out there. I'm not saying we can't win souls in here. This is preparation. And some of you guys are content with just being in the locker room. But I got a story for you. This story is meant to encourage you guys. This is not meant, I'm not here to cause condemnation. Condemnation says, hey, man, this is who you are, and this is what you've done, and you have no way out. You're condemned. No, I'm here for conviction's sake. Conviction says this is what you've done, and this is who you are, but Christ and obedience and repentance is the way out. Guys, we're either going to experience the pain of obedience or the pain of disobedience. Following Jesus is rough. It's tough. But disobedience makes it even rougher. What if that's a word? And guys, look, you're going to think this is overboard. You're going to think this is overboard. But I'm telling you, I try to share the gospel at least every day with at least one lost person. Every single day. I'm trying to plant the seed in some. And you go, whoa, that's overboard, Coach T. Everybody don't do it like that. I get it. But you got to start somewhere. I started out with just doing once a year. That's all I could handle. But the more I was spending time with Jesus, Jesus says, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Which tells you the ultimate reason that God saved you. It's the ultimate reason that God saves you is to be a witness. That's the primary reason he left you here. Because if he saved you, if he just saved you just so you can hear great preaching, and I'm telling you, your pastor, man, I told him, man, the way he preaches, if I had to be a white guy, I think I want to be him. I listened to two of his messages on my way here, and I listened to the first one, I was like, I can eat some more. I'm gonna probably listen to some when I'm driving back. But let me tell you, his preaching is great, but God's reason for saving you is not to just sit around here and preach it. Because if his purpose was to just save you to hear good messages, then he would have called you home so you can hear Jesus preach for all eternity. If his primary purpose was to hear great worship, and I love the deep and wide, that's what you did in that church. I love that. It just took me back. But that ain't the primary reason God saved you, to just hear great worship. If that was the primary reason, he would have called you home so you can hear the angels sing. The only reason he saved you, primarily, is for you to be a witness. If you're not being a witness, you are forfeiting your biblical right to exist. And in some ways, you don't feel right if you truly are a believer. He just didn't call us to follow Jesus. He calls us to fish for man. So, I got a passage for you. And they say that black pastors sometimes, they got the three L's. They late, loud, and long. I'm so sorry. But I'm going to get to it. If you got your Bibles, Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 1. I love how the fact that Jesus was constantly exposing the disciples to his character and nature. See, the disciples had decided to follow Jesus just like many of us have. But he was still trying to point them to who he was, and he had just crossed over the Sea of Galilee, and he took the disciples into a storm. Just took them into a storm? Yes, to test them. Because they weren't really sure about his character and nature and who he was. And all of a sudden, they thought, man, we're finna die. And Jesus said, storm, be quiet for a second. The storm, and all of a sudden, the disciples like, did he just, what? Yeah, that's that guy. Showed him the power over nature. But this, he's going to show them the power over demonic forces. So let's read verse 1. It says, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one, absolutely no one had, could bind him anymore, not even with chains. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and he would wrench the chains apart, and he broke the shackles into pieces. And no one, see that? No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountain, he was crying out, cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran down and fell before him, crying out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of this man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. But now a great herd of pigs were feeding on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us into the pigs and let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. Now the herdsmen fled and told it into the city, into the country. And the people came out to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus, and they saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had described to them basically said what had happened to this demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they begged Jesus to leave, depart from the region. It's not who you are, it's what you are. Get out of here. And, you know, Jesus, verse 18, as he was getting to the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons, had been possessed, begged him that he might be with him. Can I be one of your 13 disciples? And he did not permit him. Nope. But he said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Wow! Maniac turned missionary. Well, if you see this, his conditions, guys, I want to just tell you a little bit about this guy. If you see his conditions, he had a couple of conditions that really messed him up. One is he lived in the tombs. Y'all know what a tomb is. This is where they buried dead people. He was living in the dead and in darkness. Well, if you look at his psychological condition, he was depressed, suicidal, confused, crazy, lonely, hopeless, sleep deprived. He was scared and angry. He was a criminal. He was a felon. His psychological, if he was clinically diagnosed, he would have had mental illness like schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and severe depressive disorder, suicidal tendencies, and multiple personality disorder. He was very physically violent. He would actually hurt people, and they would have to arrest this man, and he was too strong for people to chain him up. He was an absolute mess. Now, you ask yourself the question, how this dude get so messed up? What in the world were you doing, man? Well, it's simple. First point is, like, sin will actually destroy your right mind. Did you know that sin will destroy your right mind and drive you into the tombs? Even if you are following Jesus Christ and you are in intentional, willful, ongoing, presumptuous sin, I guarantee you, you're crazy. You're not in your right mind. I don't know what the guy was doing. Maybe he was in sexual sin, like maybe some of you guys are. It could be sexual sin. I remember when I was in sexual sin. I was playing basketball, Henderson State University, and, man, I had gotten serious about Jesus. But when I got to college, when I had all that pressure and everything got kind of good, I could eat 3 meals a day, right? And then I was a basketball player. Oh, man, I kind of got slacked a little bit. I stopped going to church, and then, man, I heard them guys talking about this and that on the basketball team. I was like, you know what? I'm a Christian, so I'm not going to be out having sex with girls on campus. But I did get locked into porn. That was a more susceptible, you know, sin. I could still be good on the outside. Everybody think I'm a Christian. But you know what? I started going crazy. Started having dreams. I started being depressed. They said, hey, man, what's wrong with you, man? I need to go see a counselor. So I started seeing the campus minister. They said, man, we may need to put you on something. You absolutely going crazy. What's going on? But I ain't telling anybody about my sin. They was giving me all these prescriptions, but they didn't have the right diagnosis. The only thing you know what? I didn't need to go see a counselor and a therapist. I didn't need no medicine. Thank God for all that stuff. Praise the Lord. But you know what I really needed was a good dose of repentance. See, some of you guys, you hadn't let anybody in on your sin. That's why you're going like you crazy like you are. You're going to see this person and that person. You're taking this and you're taking that. And the only thing you really just need is to bring your sin up to the front to somebody that will help. Think about it. Just think about it. The Bible says, confess your sin one to another and pray for each other where you may be healed. So if you're not confessing sin, there's an indication that you're sick and you're going to remain there until you bring it to the surface. There's some things you can't carry on your own. There's some things you're not going to be able to carry. Like my neighbor, next door neighbor, he tried to move the refrigerator by himself. He couldn't move it. So he called his dad. His daddy came up. They couldn't move it. And then they said, hey, maybe Coach T will help us down out there. So they came over there, and all three of us can move this heavy refrigerator. They couldn't move it, too. But when I got there, it was a struggle, but all of us moved it. There's certain sin you're not going to be able to move by yourself. Satan will tell you to keep it to yourself. Ain't nobody going through that. You good. But the whole time you're in the tombs because you have not shared that struggle with somebody. Bring it to the front. You're not going to be able to do that by yourself. Maybe this man was in sexual sin. It could be the fact that he was angry and unforgiving. Did you know that anger and unforgiveness would isolate you and drive you into the tombs? There's some of you guys right now that the reason why you are still stuck in your sin is because you have not forgiven somebody that has wronged you. Like, really? Really? Do you know how much we have done to the Savior? Do you know how much our sin is what put the Savior on the cross, and he went and died for it and rose again so we don't have to experience the torment of unforgiveness. And we have the nerve to sit there and be offended by somebody, one thing, and we have done an insurmountable amount of sins against the Savior. And he's still willing to forgive you today, and he's willing to forgive you for what you're going to do for him tomorrow. Wow, what an amazing Savior. The Bible says if you don't forgive, if anger starts welling up in your heart and you don't forgive, it says that Satan gets a foothold. Did you know that? Now, you may be a believer, so you cannot be spiritually possessed, but you can be spiritually oppressed. Maybe he chose not to forgive. Guys, maybe there was a... Southern Baptists are the best at not necessarily sins of the flesh, like sin evident sins like Galatians 5:19 talks about. The says the fruit of the flesh is evident. Sexual morality, impurities, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage. These things are very clearly seen on the outside, but not us as Southern Baptists. You know what we got? We got stuff like, again, like unforgiveness and pride and arrogance, or just a lack of a desire for lost people. We just don't even see lost people no more. Or it could just be an attitude of the heart. Maybe it's a submission problem. Maybe, man, we fail to read our word, the Bible, right? We're too busy. So these are the things in our heart that keeps us, like, from wandering, right? Keeps us into the tombs. But guys, here's the deal. If sin is the problem, there's one human remedy. If sin is the problem, there's one human remedy, and that is repentance. See, the second point is, sin will drive you into the tombs. But did you know that when Jesus stepped on the scene, what happened to this demon-possessed man? Did you see? I remember having all these roaches in my house. Well, our lights would be cut off. I literally walked through the kitchen. And the next morning, you could see where we walked at because it was roach footprints on the ground. But when we cut them lights on, them roses go, "Woo! The light is here. We got to go back." Well, when Jesus stepped on the scene, man, the lights came on, and man, these demons started popping out everywhere. You know that in the Old Testament, you really didn't see demon like activity. It was there, but the lights, it's still darkness. So demons remained in obscurity. But when Jesus stepped on the scene, they couldn't hide no more. And this man said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Did you know that the glory and the holiness of God is more terrifying than Satan's evil? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, because that is the only thing that can prevent sin. That's the only thing that can take us, block the lifestyle of sin that destroys us. And I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about direction. And I'm not talking about sinlessness. I am talking about you sinless when you see the glory of God. I got to show you an illustration of a guy that was walking down the road, and I was just preaching their survival. And let me tell you, I was walking down the road, and I seen this guy with his shirt off carrying a 12-gauge shotgun. And I started judging. You know how we are. Man, look at that guy. Carrying a 12. What's wrong with that dude? He must be on something. I said to myself, man, that's crazy. And all of a sudden, I got convicted by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit said, "Oh, you got enough room to judge him. Why don't you just pull over and go share the message of the gospel with him? You remember what used to be?" I said, "I ain't finna share with this guy. I'm finna go home." And I found myself just pulling over. I'm like, "What, Lord? I ain't got nothing to say to this guy. And the only thing I had is a $5 gift card. And I went up to him. I said, "Hey, man." He said, "What?" I was like, "Oh, man." I tell people, when I get nervous, I'm so black, I start sweating soy sauce. I started sweating that soy sauce. And I said, "Hey, man, I got a gift card for you." He said, "Oh, yeah, come on over here." And I was able to share the gospel with him. I want you to watch what happened to this guy. All right? You can pull it up. That'd be great.
Do you have any thoughts about God or the afterlife?
All the time.
Yeah, look, tell me what you think about it.
It scares me.
When's the last time you've been to church?
I don't even want to say.
Now, you know what? You know why I pulled over, man? I felt like I needed to stop and just talk to you, man. So, do you believe in heaven and hell?
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Turned out to be a person I'm not.
Okay, what do you mean?
There's a big drug problem up here.
Oh, I see. Are you struggling a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
And what particular drug are you struggling with?
Methamphetamines.
Okay.
My main problem is when I get really mad or upset or just that off or aggravated. Yeah. It's really sad to say, but the only thing I found to calm me down for a long period of time was doing a shot.
Doing a shot? Because you're addicted to it now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you how I got better, because it's going to take a miracle, and the only person that can do miracles is God.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The Bible says that God became a man, and his name was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you his message, and it may change you like it changed me, okay? You know what the word gospel means?
Mm-mm.
All right, it basically means good news. If drugs feels good, but now you got to do what?
It used to help kill the pain, and it don't no more.
Yeah. But all of a sudden, now you got to keep going back to it because it has a hold on you. That's what sin does. A man takes the sin, then sin will take the man. You see what I'm saying? Just pray and ask God to save you. And just see what'll happen. You ain't got nothing to lose, right?
Mm.
You already dead. Can I pray with you?
Mm.
All right, I'm going to pray with you, okay? You save him. You want to change?
Mm-hmm.
And hey. Okay, but I just... See you, buddy. I'm just praying for you on my way home.
I'm a little nervous to go like, man... The gospel really changed this guy?
Yeah.
You know, and you told me he's been giving his testimony and things of that nature.
Yeah, he's been giving his testimony around. He won't talk much, but he'll talk a little.
Hey, that's all right. That's all I need.
We're looking for Jonathan Kent. You know,
hey, how you doing?
I'm T.
How you doing?
Here he is.
Yeah.
Here he
I'm
is.
A whole looking different person now.
Oh, my goodness. JK.
How you doing?
Oh, my goodness.
How you doing?
It's you.
Yeah.
JK.
Here he is, guys. I've been anticipating this conversation here, so I got him here.
I remember talking to you. You seen me walking down the road. I had a shotgun in my hand. Looking all around me, worrying about the police showing up.
Yeah.
And then last time I got arrested, it was on 4th of July. Wednesday makes 9 months sober.
So 9 months. 9 months. No drugs in 9 months.
Nope, nothing.
So...
Thank you.
still remember me?
Yeah.
Really? I'm gonna pull YouTube up. You been want? Do you want to see it?
Yes.
Okay. And then I want to give you a couple of encouragements, man.
What kind of gun you got there? That was my mugshot.
Okay. Oh, wow.
July 4th of 2024.
Wow.
Behold, the power of the gospel. I actually talked to him 3 weeks ago, and here's what he told me. He says, Coach T, man, I'm 9 months sober, and I have a nephew. My nephew is an alcoholic. Man, what can you help me? What do I share with him? Do you see his knee-jerk reaction? Maniac to missionary. Just like that. Guys, Titus chapter 3, verse 3 says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and in envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he has poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Guys, it's like my wife's beef stroganoff. It's my favorite food. I can eat it every day, but sometimes, you know, if you eat it every day, it gets a little old, right? So let me tell you when I get excited about it again, because it does get a little old sometimes, and I love it. And then don't put no hot sauce on it. So here's how I get excited about it. I call one of my buddies over. I say, hey, man, you got to try my wife's beef stroganoff, and they come over, and they're like, man, this is amazing. I said, you love it too? All right, wait. Put some hot sauce on it. And they put some hot sauce on it. And all of a sudden they eat it and they go, man, this is even more amazing. I said, you love it too? You see how amazing it is? See, when I see somebody else fall in love with my wife beef stroganoff because I shared it, I get excited about the beef stroganoff even more. You know why some of you guys are bored with Jesus? Because you don't share him and you lost your excitement. See, when you see somebody else get excited about your same Jesus and you see the benefit they get from your same Jesus, you fall in love with Jesus all over again. But if you don't use it, you get bored with Jesus like some of you guys are. And I'm telling you, people say, man, what's wrong with you? Why you don't just calm down? You want me to calm down? Well, all my buddies in hell, I got all eternity to calm down. Third point, I'm almost finished. Thank y'all for giving me grace. But guys, did you notice that even though this man was out of his right mind because sin had driven him to the tombs and Jesus restored his right mind, the third point is the Great Commission will keep you in your right mind. Look at verse 18. It says that as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. But he did not permit him to go. He says, go home to your friends. Go home to your friends. He wasn't an amazing man, but he had an amazing message. He wasn't an amazing man because he had a record. Look at his teeth. Look at the way, he used to be half butt naked running around. He had a felony. And then he said, go home to your friends. Guys, you know why Jesus told him to go home to his friends? Because that's the only thing that will keep you in your right mind. Guys, you're going to die and pursue something. You're going to die for something, you're going to pursue something. If you chase the things of the world, even though you're a believer, it will drive you crazy. And here's the bad part. Here's the worst part. The worst part is that you really enjoy it. Because now you don't feel like you have a mission. You have a mission of making money or just chasing this and chasing that. And all of a sudden, you're actually comfortable with being just comfortable. You have traded conviction for convenience. And as a result, we are missing the mission. And guys, where you live, work, and play is where God has called us to. I mean, think about this man. What if this man would have said something like this? Jesus, you want me to do what? Go back to who? You see my teeth? What if he would have said something like, God, can you just send somebody else Jesus? Because, like, I'm not that type of person. I'm an introvert. Like, what if they ask me a question I don't really know? Like, I don't really want to come across as a hypocrite because, you know, I ain't really living that life. Well, get to the point where you can. The message is too serious. Well, what if I say, hey, that's my pastor's job? That's his job. That's what we put money in the offering plate for them and everybody else that are pastors, are ministry leaders here. No. Guys, our job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry so you won't be like a children tossed to and fro. That's what God called us to plant the message. What if your excuse is like, can people just get saved by watching my actions? Guys, how can they know without a preacher? I don't want to come across as people I see, like, pretty frequently. Like, I would attest to you, if this man would have used one of those excuses to not complete the mission, where do you think he would have went back to? To the tombs! To darkness! Just because God saved you, he put you on a mission. Why? He gave you the mission to stay on the mission. God will put you in your right mind. Right? But the Great Commission will keep you in your right mind. If you're not completing the mission, guys, you're going to get off the path. Jesus, you know why? Do you know why Jonah was so miserable? You know why they tried to throw him off the boat? His relationships was all messed up. You know why? He just didn't want to share the gospel. He almost died because he was off the mission. David got out of the battle because he fell into sin. This is the only way thing to keep you insane as a believer. Guys, if you're not sharing the gospel, I'm not saying that you're worthless. Nobody's worthless because you've been born again. You're valuable. My kids are valuable because they're not worthless. But if you're not doing evangelism and making disciples, you are useless. What are you doing? That's the only reason why we left here. Guys, I know this is uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable. I'm starting to sweat the soy sauce now. But it's when you follow Jesus, if you're not fishing, you're not faithfully following. It's like walking on two legs. Follow me, that's one leg. Come to church, get involved. Like, come on, music, like fellowship, potluck. That's walking on one leg. Now, making disciples and fishing for men is like two legs. It keeps you balanced. Some of us are just crawling on our hands. Guys, it keeps you balanced. I'm going to close. I'll be finished with this illustration. But guys, hear me. You're not going to be able to walk this Christian life out and be comfortable. God will not let you sit in your comfort. He will. Pigs run off the cliff. You wonder why the pigs running off the cliff in your life? You wonder why marital problems exist? You wonder all this? Because sometimes we're just off the path. That was happening in my marriage. I was off the path. And God was just running pigs off the cliff in my marriage. But I'm going to finish after this. I promise. You can close your eyes if you want to. This kind of brings a little bit more effect. You don't have to. But I just want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine. Let's just say you jumped in your car. And y'all was just, you know, having a good time. Let's just say you were texting or driving or you were doing something you had no business doing. And you decided that you're not going to even pay attention to the road. And all of a sudden something goes under your tires. And you're thinking it's a deer or something like that. So you get out and you find out you have just ran over a teenage kid. And you're in trouble. You begin to shake. And the police officers get there, and they charge you. Next day, you stand before the courtroom. The court comes. He stands you before this judge. This judge has rage in his eyes. And he says, I want you to know that kid you ran over, that was my nephew. They're going to schedule you to be executed in the execution chair the third day. And you're terrified. They dress you in that orange suit. They put the electrical bucket on your head. They strap your chest in, both legs in. Executioner, the last thing he puts over your head is a dark bag. You're in complete darkness. Executioner goes out of the room, puts his hand on the switch. How do you plead, man? Man that ran over the judge's nephew? You're silly. And you say, I'm so sorry. Please, just give me another chance. The only reason why you want another chance is because you're about to get, you just got caught. So you tense your body up sitting in that chair. And all of a sudden, you hear footsteps getting closer to your chair. And so you relax a little bit. The bag comes off your head, and to your surprise, there stands the judge. The judge. You remember the judge that rightfully gave you the execution? You remember him? He's standing there with tears streaming down his face. And he looking at you. Y'all looking, locking eyes. You trying to figure out, is he here to do something for me or to me? Well, the tears start streaming down this judge's face even more. He looks at you with the most compassionate eyes. And all of a sudden, he turns around and he calls his only son into the room. His son comes into the room.
Oh, that's my Lord.
His son comes into the room. And his son is smiling. He looks at his father's face and he says, Father, what's wrong? He stops smiling. He says, Daddy, what's wrong? He says, Daddy. He says, Son. He points over at you, the murderer. He says, do you see? His innocent only son says, yeah, Daddy, hand me the keys. So his daddy hands his only son the keys, and he goes to where you're sitting at in this electric chair. He begins to unstrap you from the chair. And he tells you to stand up next to the chair. So you stand up pretty confused, and his only son, innocent son, sits in your place. He looks at his father with tears streaming down his face. He says, Father, I'm ready. And you're standing in the corner watching this in complete amazement. I know he ain't about to do what I think he's about to do. I'm the guilty one. The judge comes over here with his hands trembling. He begins to strap his innocent son in his chair. Straps his chest in just like he had you strapped in. And the last thing he puts over his son's head is that what? Is that what? The dark bag, and his son is complete darkness. The daddy starts walking out of the room, and you're sitting in the corner watching this in a complete amazement. And as he's walking out of the room, the son says, Dad. The daddy turns around and looks at his son one last time. He says, Dad, is there any other way this can be done? The judge says, No, son. And the son says, Not my will, Dad, but yours be done. The judge goes out of the room and he puts his hand on the switch. And with tears in that judge's eyes, with his baby boy in that other room, he begins to flip the switch. And as the electrical volts are surging through his innocent son's body, right before he dies, he yells out, Father! Father, where have you been? Why have you forsaken me? Father! It is finished. What did he just do for you? What did he do for you? He paid your fine in full. The judge comes back in and he falls on his knees. This is a gruesome scene. There's blood coming out of every orifice of his son's body. It's a horrific scene. And you're sitting there watching in complete amazement. He looks over at you and he says, Would you accept? Would you accept what my son has done in his chair for you? Would you accept it? You only got two choices. You can accept what the judge has done, or you can reject it. Which one would you do? Which one would you do? If you reject it, now you're left to the destruction of the judge. But if you accept it, that judge looks at you, he hugs you, and he says, You're free to go. No longer guilty, 100% paid in full. Paid in full. How would you live? If you really truly accept it, how would you live? How would you live? You'll never be perfect, but now you're willing to be perfected. You'll never be sinless, but you will sin less because of the mercy, not the judgment. 2,000 years ago, God slaughtered his son. He blowtorched him with hell so that we could escape it. See, either you're going to pay for your sin in hell, or you're going to let the Savior pay for it on the cross, and you're going to walk free. Now, here's my last question. If you've been let free, who would you tell? Who would you tell? Everybody got to get this. Why? Because of the mercy. I'm not sharing the gospel because I'm scared. I'm afraid I'm going to go to hell if I don't share it. I'm sharing it because I'm in love. We're the only faith that practices living for Jesus because we're in love, not because we're in fear. He's paid the price. How can we keep it to ourselves? I talked about the will today, but tonight I'm going to teach you how to do the skill. But I want to pray for you. Would you pray with me? Would you pray with me? Guys, I just want to check for real. After this service, before this service is over with, I check with four young men, and they, I don't know. I want to check with you. Because you can't give something you don't have. Maybe the reason why you've never shared the gospel is because you don't have the gospel to give. Is it possible that you could be lost? Is it possible that if God came back for the breath he let you borrow, you would be in hell? Is it possible? If that's possible, I just want you to pray a simple prayer. Just say something to God like this. Say, God, I am so sorry for what I've done. I recognize that I am so far away. In some ways, I have deceived myself, and I need a Savior. Father, please forgive me for what I've done. Please, Lord Jesus, I'm just so sorry. Just tell him to save you right there. Tell him, I believe in what you did on the cross. I'm locking on as best I know how. Just tell him something like that. Father, please bring them to repentance. Did anybody do that today? Did you slip your hand up? If anybody did that, can you slip your hand up and slip it back down? You don't have to be ashamed of it. Did anybody pray to receive Jesus today? Anybody at all? Just slip your hand up. I see you, buddy. Praise the Lord. I see you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Just slip your hand up and slip it back down. Praise the Lord. I see you. Praise the Lord. I see you. Praise the Lord. Enter into eternity. So what I'm going to ask you to do is probably do something brave. I'm going to ask Pastor to come up. And if you pray to receive the Lord, don't be ashamed about it. Man, you can tell the world. You might as well start now. Pastor here, I'll be right there. You can come and acknowledge the fact that, hey, Pastor, I either want to talk or I put my faith in Jesus. I'll be standing. Pastor, do I need to stand here too? Okay, I'll stand here. You come and talk to me. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys.